Hello and welcome to episode number 26 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
And today we look back on Illinois' victory last night in basketball for senior night, the final game at the State Farm Center for this season. And we look ahead to the implications for the weekend and the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. Also some football news to dive into, and we've got viewer questions to, or listener questions,
yes,
to answer. As always, you can email us at lighttheeyepodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment or reach out to us on social media. We always appreciate your participation. Robert, are you doing all right? You came in on a downpour.
Yes, it is. It is one of those days on campus of, do I really need to go to class this afternoon days as well? I looked at it as a freshman and sophomore. Might have had something to do with my academic probation two times. But, yeah, it's just there is no relief anywhere from this downpour.
Nope. A little bit dreary outside, but hey, March showers bring that's not how it
works. Still got to wait another month.
But it is a month of March. It's the Madness March.
Yes.
Madness of March, so we're going to do that. But big question, do we have any update on the status of our eye here?
We are still blue. Somebody said that to me last night. They sent something saying that something else was a blue eye, and so maybe it's just the thing now is orange is out, you know. Tired, orange,
I did see
wired.
A segment on ESPN where they were using the all blue logo.
And it was something about Peacock, how they were using like a glowing blue eye or something like
Who
that.
Does that?
So we're going with Blue Eye March is what we're going with until I could get the little color thing fixed. We are straight up Blue Eye March. Hey, do you remember Blue Eye March back in 2026? I'm declaring it. It's like,
yeah, you're also implying that it'll be fixed by April.
I'm also implying the basketball team will be fixed by April. But we'll talk about that in a bit. For now, Blue Eye March starts with what?
Lighting the eye.
Let's do it. It's going to do a little blink, hopefully. And then I'm going to panic that it's not going to light. And then it'll go. You ready?
Yeah, you have to grind through it.
Let's do it.
Find a way.
And we're there.
A 20-point win for Illinois last night. More than that, excuse me. It was 20 points at halftime.
It was 21, and then A.J. Redd put his name in the hat, and it became 26.
That's right. He's the plus five in that difference there. And Illinois rolls past the Oregon Ducks, 80-54. And the Illini have one more Big Ten game remaining at Maryland. With a win at Maryland, they would clinch a top four seed in the Big Ten tournament for the all-important triple bye. We can talk about that. But the headline, actually, yesterday was that it was senior night, and yep. It's always means closure. For example, I have with me here my media credential,
mm-hmm.
And now I don't need this anymore because there's no more games in the State Farm Center, and I wanted to ask you what you do with it.
In fact, well, I have every single one of mine saved.
Same.
Home and away games since 2011 was the first thing I was credentialed for. And I also know the rule that you can hold that up to the camera now. In the last 4 months, you're not supposed to because they worry about someone. Like if you read the fine print when you apply for a credential at USC or whatever, it will say, do not post a photo of your credential anywhere because someone could make a fake one and try to get into the stadium. But with the season over, doesn't matter. So tweet those photos of those credentials.
Well, I don't think anyone would be that excited about it, but it's more that, this little memento of having gone through a season.
Yep.
It marks the end of vacation. And it was senior night. It's always bittersweet. And, last night for Illinois men, you had three seniors or grads mm-hmm. that were acknowledged, and it's just great stories. You had the hometown kid in Kylan Boswell one last time on the place he returned to after transferring back, and the ovation that he got when he was announced. He had Ben Humrickhouse, who has gone through senior night now twice, but this time he's escorted by his wife, Adalia, who's a former Illinois women's basketball player. So there's, you know, that whole sentiment. And then you had AJ Redd, the walk-on turn scholarship player who got to go on the floor for one last time and get chewed out by his coach.
Yes, yes. Maybe for the first time. I think Underwood said something like that. It's like the most I've ever yelled at him or something like that.
If you missed it, AJ Redd got in the game to the roar of the State Farm Center and pretty quickly chucked up a three that he not only missed, he missed badly. And it was.
And it wasn't just. Let's call it a four, Scott. Like, that was 34 feet. I mean, he was 12 feet beyond the 3-point line.
It elicited a response from Brad Underwood.
Yes, it did.
And I'm thinking, like, oh my gosh, is he going to pull him out?
Yes.
Is he going to be like, that's
senior
it?
Night.
I don't know how. There was this movie, you might remember it because you're of the age, Forget Paris. It starred Billy Crystal, and he was an NBA referee, and it's a rom-com. Mm-hmm. And he goes off because something sets him off as a referee, and he throws a legend out of a game in his retirement game.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is dealing with a breakup or something like that.
Sure.
I remember. It's, you know, sort of background to the story, but he's an NBA referee who just like who snaps in a game of this guy retiring and ejects him.
That would have been funny like Underwood sends a different bench guy in to go get AJ Redd on senior night.
Yeah, a few moments later, AJ Redd took another three, this time in transition, and this time he made it, and Brad Underwood was among those out there applauding.
And let's talk about the convergence of two things there. So, you know, Media Row is right in front of Crush there. The Crush section behind me apparently was headed to Cam's after the game, and so once they saw on the scoreboard with 12 minutes
really,
left.
They told me they were going to the library.
Once the scoreboard hit 9 made threes from Illinois, well, the 10th one means no cover at Cam's for students. So they start talking about it with 12 minutes left. Like, I can just hear them like, come on, one more three and we got Cam's. One more three, let's go. Illinois misses 11 threes in a row. This same group of guys right behind me, 11 times, are like, this is it, here we go. Oh, no, it's not. So now there's a minute left, and they still don't have Cam's, and they're like, are you kidding me? We're not even going to get this. It's been 12 minutes, and who is the guy who gets them that three-pointer and sends them to Cam's, but the guy they've been chanting for to get in the game for the last 10 minutes? So it was a great, great senior night moment.
Congratulations to AJ Redd.
It's absolutely been
now noted a few times. He's already got a gig lined up with Larry Geese and is going to go into the financial world and do great things and maybe make a lot of money. And at one day, as Brad Underwood joked, may have a new facility named after him because he'll make the leading donation or whatever. But a great way for the State Farm Center portion of the season to end. And Oregon just had no resistance. They're down a number of players. Biddle's a good big. Illinois was too much. It was also I don't want to say return, but it's like Andre Stojakovic had a game.
And 21 and 12 was it?
Yeah, double double for Stojakovic.
Yep. Yeah, it's that kind of a get right game that he needed. Like that, I wrote about this last night. Like, there's all these pieces that we've seen all year, and then they kind of fade away. Like, okay, oh my gosh, Stojakovic scores 30 against Northwestern or whoever it was, and like, that's a real thing we can turn to in a game like this. And oh, Jake Davis 5 for 7 from three, we're gonna have a game where we need that guy to just come up, you know, come in and hit three threes in a row and get us back into a game. And if you could converge all of those things in March, you've got a team with Final Four potential. But you know, this kind of faded away, and where did that go? And Boswell missed a month, so we don't have a defensive stopper and all these things. And so getting Andre back to that type of thing, it's a big thing for this team, because Underwood's going to need to pull every single lever in the tournament. He's going to have to turn and say, okay, they're doing this. They're out on the three-point line. We got to get to the basket. Andre, it's your game. You know, go. And he's going to have to be able to be ready to do that. And in against different defenses, other pieces are going to have to do different things. And there's going to be a moment where it's like, Keaton, you're going to have to take over or we're in trouble and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, that was a big step. You know, on the other side, Tommy looked a little lost again last night. And if Tommy isn't Tommy, then, you know, we have to have the Twins hitting threes. It's a big part of this offense is to have the big guys pulling everybody away from the basket because they can hit threes. So it's just one of those like, okay, this whole big ingredients that you, that Underwood's put into the system here, all of it needs to be clicking in the next 2 weeks as they hit the tournament.
Yeah, but last night when Zvonimir Ivasic came in along with Ben Hamrickhouse, it was a game changer. Yeah. And Stojakovic. I mean, the bench was huge. Part of that was because Stojakovic was a bench player again and ended up with 21 points. I mean, I don't think of Stojakovic as a bench player in that sense, sure, even though Jake Davis has been in the rhythm of being the starter.
Yep.
I do actually, in this case, really do buy into the, okay, whoever starts, starts. It doesn't matter. It's how the pieces fit together going forward and whoever finishes the game.
But the most interesting stat last night was probably, you know, 80 points from Illinois, 40 from the starters, and 40 from the bench. Like, it was split right down the middle in the scoring column. So, obviously, yeah, a lot of that is one of the starters is currently coming off the bench after his ankle issues and everything else. But, yeah, big to get him back, and it's time to progress forward.
So, Maryland is the Sunday opponent for the men. And, by the way, the women, by the time you're consuming this, will have already played their Big Ten tournament game against Wisconsin, but we're wishing them well, and they are looking to play as far as they can into this weekend at the women's Big Ten tournament over in Indianapolis. And a couple of wins, I think, will go a long way to secure their NCAA tournament bid. But as for the men, there is only three more guaranteed games.
Yep.
The regular season finale against Maryland. You know you're in the Big Ten tournament. Everyone makes that. Illinois is a lock for the NCAA tournament. So those are three guaranteed games left. But they were talking about what would now be wanting to play 10 more games.
Yep. Yep.
Three games in the Big Ten tournament and six in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's I always look at the Big Ten tournament as this. Do you want to get tired by making a run to Sunday, or is it maybe better to just win a couple, or, you know, win one, or even go home and then get ready for the tournament and have the prep time? You know, a team like Florida blew that out of the water last year because they rolled through the SEC tournament and said, you know, look, we're kind of a title favorite here, and then they went and won the title. But yeah, if Illinois gets the triple bye, then you're in really, really good shape for that 2 seed in St. Louis slot that we've talked about. This whole, like, you know, last night was really big for Illinois on the seed chart, if you will. You know, Illinois wins big over Oregon, as they should. Oregon's really, really bad this year.
Texas Tech lost.
You know, all the teams that will eventually in that 2 seed, 3 seed, maybe 4 seed bracket. Kansas lost to Arizona State. That's a really bad loss for them and keeps them out of the conversation of a higher 3 seed or a 2 seed. You said Texas Tech lost, and then Nebraska lost by 20 at UCLA. And so that probably keeps Illinois ahead of Nebraska on the whole seed chart line. And so, yeah, the whole goal here is get to St. Louis, at least in my mind. Go play in front of an arena there that's going to be 60% Illini fans and 40% the other seven teams. So, yeah, that's big night for that last night. Obviously have to win Sunday and then maybe win two on in the Big Ten tournament to maybe put the clamps down on locking up that 2 seed in St. Louis.
Well, it was senior night last night. You know who else was a senior in attendance?
I think it was, Maisie Garrett?
Yes, she was. Producer Maisie. Amazing Maisie. How you doing?
I'm good.
So you were covering senior night last night, but you are a senior. Mm-hmm. So how was it for you going through the last game as a student?
I think it's kind of the best ending that it can be. Big win over Oregon. Again, you know, it would have been nice to have like a bigger win, less expected, bigger competition, but I can't complain. It was a beautiful night. It was nice to see AJ Red have his, you know, really big moment before you leave. I met AJ my freshman year. So not that we've really stayed in touch or anything, but it's just nice to see. He's a really good kid, deserves a moment like that. Everybody loves him for a reason. So can't complain. I love the community I've built through State Farm Center. That includes you guys. So it was a special night. I loved it very much. I will cherish that night for a very long time.
You got here, what, fall of 22 then?
Yes.
Fall 22. So I guess we've been through this before. 23 was a rough-ish season, but Illinois was in the tournament, and then you had the Elite Eight run. Mm-hmm. You had last year losing in the 3-6 game to Kentucky, and now you've got this team. So you've had you said last time we talked about this that your dad has told you, like, you have no idea how good mm-hmm. you have it. But, yeah, that's quite a run for 4 years.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, again, I don't take it for granted. I think sometimes – you know what? Maybe sometimes I do, because I have those really high expectations of this is what the program's capable of. But I think even right now, I mean, if there were no postseason tournaments at all, I would be really, really happy with how this season turned out. I feel like that would be wrong to not feel that way. So regardless of what happens in the future for this team, because, you know, it's Illinois. You never know. You never know.
Sure.
So I'm just very grateful, and I'm going to remember my grateful feeling heading into the last few months of school here.
So do we need to have a senior night for Maisie?
Probably.
Whenever your last episode is with
May
us.
May or something like that.
Who knows? Yes. I mean, maybe it will go, but, you know, either way, you deserve a senior night no matter how long this goes. You know, do we get your parents down and have them come on the pod with a rose, and do we
probably
get present a framed?
Do we retire numbers back here somewhere?
How do we get like a framed MP3?
Maybe she keeps the pillow. Maybe that's it. Like,
we bequeath you the.
We give you the pillow.
All I want for my senior night on this show is for Robert to do his long jump.
Yes. Okay. I'm in. I mean, if we save it till the end of May, then we could, you know, then I could maybe get be a little better prepared for this moment.
I was thinking about this the way, and like you said, well, I'm not allowed to stretch. No, you're allowed to stretch. You just can't really practice.
Got it.
This is got to be the,
because the statement was, I could just go out and do it right now.
Yeah. It's the, yes, you were pulled from the crowd for the timeout, can you make a three and win the gift certificate or whatever, basketball equivalent. This is, can you just walk out there? You can stretch. It's fine. Let's not get you hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do anything that would enhance your ability.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you could right now jump, you know, let's say 3 feet, you can't like go work out so that you could do four.
I'm telling you, anybody could jump like 8 feet or something like that right now, right? 10 isn't that long. 10 is 10. It's taking a basketball hoop and laying it down and then jumping from the bottom to the top. I could do that.
It's
We'll get there. That's a separate topic. Back to senior night, because I have one more question for Maisie. How many years have you done the helping with production or, you know, different roles during games? You know, part of some of it is BTN plus and all that, but how many years have you been doing that stuff?
So for men's games, usually my role is I'm a reporter for the student run station here, UI7 Newsroom. I've been doing that since, well, I started with women's basketball my sophomore year. So now transitioning between women's and men's, this is my third year doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started working with Big Ten Plus and Student U my junior year, so last year. So 2 years now for that side of it.
So you haven't done much as a fan there kind of thing? I guess that's my question. Of like, you never did Crush or anything like that. It's just been like part of the job and this and that, have you gotten to attend many games as a fan, or how does that work?
Yeah, so I've done Crush twice for men's games, once my freshman year, once my junior year. So, you know, I got the experience, but also what my problem is that I would buy season tickets, whether it's football, basketball, and then my other friends that would buy them would not go to the games. Mm. So I'm like, I didn't really want to go alone. Right. So my tickets were kind of wasted. So I really like this better.
Sure.
So I get the best seat in the house for free. I'm with a camera doing what I love. And I prefer it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I've grown to become the same thing. That's great. That's great to hear.
I know the feeling a little bit. I went to a couple of women's games this year with my family and got to sit with them, which was great. That part was great. But there was also this energy inside me. It's like, well, I'm supposed to be doing something.
Yep. Yep. There's always a, like, I really wish I were, I really wish there were, I hope the camera's on me right now because I had to clean something off my glasses and now I can't get them under the earphones. Hold on. Where'd it go? Nope. It's not going well. That's over the ear. This is great content, both for video and audio. There we go.
Yeah, that's definitely not getting clipped out.
Don't clip it out. The people want to see that.
Make that note, Maisie.
Big dumb guy do stupid things. That's the content we're going for. I forgot what I was even saying. I'm now obsessed with my glasses. So
I don't know.
You take it.
I really stopped listening about a few minutes ago.
Okay. Well, move us on to something else then.
Well, Maisie, congrats on a senior season of covering Illinois hoops. And we'll have to figure out how to celebrate your senior night, so to speak, on the pod before this is all done.
Thank you. Now I'm banking on it.
Okay. And right. Robert,
now I know I can wait until that to attempt my long jump.
Yeah. Hey, I want to let everybody know today we're recording on March 4th and just wanted to give a shout out to the Marching Illini. They use March 4th, F-O-R-T-H, as a day every year to do a significant amount of fundraising. So check out Marching Illini, their social pages or their website, if you want to help out their cause and advancement. And Barry Hauser is very busy, the director of the MI. Not only with his regular activities, but the Marching Illini is also going to Ireland late next week. They're going to be in Ireland to get ready for St. Patrick's Day festivities in the Emerald Isle. And, of course, the hoops bands will be all over the place for the Big Ten tournaments and NCAA tournaments. So shout out MI and March 4th. All right. When we come back, we have a few items to touch on with football staffing updates. And a couple of things that have caught our eye as they get ready for spring practice. And then we have some listener viewer Q&A to do as well.
All right, let's get to it.
Some football items to note as the Illini and Brett Bielema have filled out the staff. They announced yesterday the addition of Robbie Hauk as the new assistant defensive backs coach. Hauk, you may recognize, same last name as Bobby Hauk, the new defensive coordinator. So this is his son. And so he'll be his assistant defensive backs coach. Also a new defensive ends coach. Help me, Robert, if you know how to say his last name. It's Mike Linehan. Mike Linehan.
I do not know. I'm going to guess Linehan, but that's
it's
just
spelled
because of the old Rams coach.
L-I-N-E-H-A-N. He's the new defensive ends coach, and he comes from Montana State like the defensive coordinator does, Bobby Hauk.
Montana. You better not say Montana State. You're going to get Grizz people all over. You know, you're either a Grizz or a Bobcat out there, so.
I knew that.
Yes.
And I just simply misspoke.
That's fine. It's fine. I'm just helping. You know, all those listeners we have in the Great Plains and in the mountains, we need to make sure we don't make any mistakes that gets, starts a war out there.
There's also a number of updates to other positions on the staff that were announced today. This was already known. Chris Hurd is going to be the special teams coordinator, and he will do that solely it looks like. In the past, it's been a tight ends coach and a special teams coordinator dual role. But some other notes, Archie McDaniel, who had been the linebackers coach, now moves to the outside linebackers coach. So he is one of the holdovers from the primary assistants on the defensive side. Is he the only holdover on the defensive side? Corey Parker is still here, excuse me.
Yep. But still, it's a...
Well, Mike, here's my question. Outside linebackers, what is an outside linebacker in this new system?
Yeah, and they have a defensive ends coach. So it's like, okay, well, before somebody was coaching the edge guys, they called it. And so that's, you know...
That was outside linebackers in the previous system.
Right, but it's either outside linebackers or they're more defensive ends and this and that. So if there's a defensive line coach, a defensive ends coach, and an outside linebacker coach, and an inside linebacker coach, I'm just very curious to see, you know, when they split the personnel groupings at practice, who goes with who, and, you know, how does that work? Are there two outside linebackers and just a single middle linebacker? And is it just the middle linebackers that are with Roger Cooper, or how does that work? And so it'll be interesting. The biggest thing about all this to me is for years, you know, there's the whole recruiting restriction with assistants, right? So you could have your nine, used to be eight, then it was nine, then it's 10. You have that many assistants who can go out on the road recruiting, and then other staffers can't be. You can have one of those staffers stay home, and then another person is assigned to be like one of the 10 that gets to travel, but it's just that. As things have expanded, you know, last year we talked about this. They went from, you know, to two official coaches at each position. You had Thad Ward was the running back coach, and then you had James White, who was the assistant running backs coach. And they went out and kind of doubled the staff. The main 10 could do their recruiting, and, you know, they're the main assistants designated by the NCAA and can do that, and then beyond that. Well, now we have a system, what are there, 14, you know, like Sitkowski, Art Sitkowski is named quarterback's coach.
Yeah, that's one of the updates. He was co-quarterback's coach, I believe,
yes, in
his last title.
Yes. And so, okay, how does, you know, I guess part of the question, and Bielma has a media thing tomorrow, and so I'm sure he'll be asked this, but like, is it the three coordinators are just in-house kind of coordinators, and then you have 10 position coaches that are main 10 that are like the on-the-road recruiting guys, and then everybody else is an assistant beyond that, or how does this whole thing work? Because if you count up on the roster, well, we're well beyond 10 guys without the word assistant next to their name. Last year, it was a very clear 10 assistants, and or 10 assistant coaches, and then 10...
Including the two coordinators.
Assistant to the assistant coach, you know. And so, you know, that it was a very clear structure of these are the 10 guys who can go out recruiting and this and that. These are the 10 guys who are assistants to them. Well, now it's something like 14 and 6 or something like that. Okay, well, how does that work? What's the plan for this? You've got all these assistants. Who's a recruiting assistant? Who's not? Who's on this level? Who's on that? So it's
interesting. And you want to know the plan as a matter of curiosity, not as a, just how are you going to accomplish this, sir?
I think I just want to be at practice. I mean, just let me go to every practice and let me see which players go with which coach. I can figure it out. I can clarify for the entire fan base.
You and Bob Osmussen of the News Gazette.
That's all I need.
The loudest is to, champions of practice access.
I just need to be at every practice, and then I can let the world know. I think that's really the only solution here. Really.
You know, everybody needs a villain. Everyone needs a cause. Mm-hmm. If they let you in practice, you won't have any left.
Yeah, just... Me and Bob picketing outside the Grange statue of like,
they finally let you in, and it's
like, let us in.
Oh, I guess I was kind of had this weird codependent relationship of not getting into practice. What do I do now?
You know, speaking of Bob, I'm glad that the, you know, so we have Bobby Houck is the defensive coordinator, and Robbie, his son, is going, so. Again, I am the son of a Robert who is the son of a Robert. So my dad and my grandpa and I always had this like, okay, we'll call him Bobby. We'll call him Bob. We'll give him a nickname. He's Pops. He's this, you know, that type of thing. So it's interesting to me that they went with Bobby and Robbie. You don't see many dads and sons go with Bobby and Robbie when they're both Roberts, but hey, shout out to them. Yeah, there's lines of Bobs and Bobbies. There's lines of Robs and Robbies, but never they don't cross very much. So a Bobby and a Robbie, very interesting to me. Those are the kind of observations, listen, that people come here for. Listen.
Yeah.
That's it right there. Tell me how Bobs and Robbies.
Boy, we're distinguishing ourselves.
100%. 100%.
Mike New, the former Ball State head coach who'd been on staff last year with football, is now the pass game coordinator, which I believe is how you defend the pass, not how you actually do the passing, right?
Yes, yes.
The run game coordinator is not the guy that coordinates the running. It's the guy who coordinates how you defend the run.
Yes, yes.
Which is helping the defensive coordinator who does both the defending of the run and the pass.
Look, so many of these are...
It's the only ways to advance the ball, right?
So many of these are kind of... I'll just call them agent-based. You know, as you're building your career, you work yourself up from assistant quarterbacks coach to quarterbacks coach to passing game coordinator to co-offensive coordinator offensive coordinator.
It's like professor titles.
Yes, yes, yes.
Adjunct, assistant professor, associate, full, you know.
Yes, and the agents are watching out for their guys and saying, like, hey, can we call him the secondary coach and call him the defensive backs coach? Yeah. And then they're both kind of coaching the whole secondary, and it doesn't just look like they're a position
coach. Well, I'm not questioning that they're all making good contributions. It's yes. just...
It can get confusing.
Yes.
It can get very confusing.
And Houston Griffith, son of Howard Griffith, the great Illini running back, Big Ten Network analyst. Houston Griffith has been on staff for a few seasons. He is now assistant tight ends coach.
Yes.
And I see that as a promotion for him.
Yes. So let's see if we can break this down here as, you know, they list, you know, Lunny is offensive coordinator, Hauk is defensive coordinator, Hurd is special teams coordinator.
Yeah, we got to break this down further because people are not fully informed here yet.
There are 16
others. They are sticking with this.
16 others are really curious about this. So let's just do this live since I have the list in front of me. The coaches that are named as position coaches, Ronnie Bradford, secondary coach, Roger Cooper, inside linebackers coach, Jake Elliott, tight ends coach, Mike Linehan, defensive ends coach, Archie McDaniel, outside linebackers coach, Bart Miller, offensive line coach, Corey Parker, defensive backs coach, Art Sikowski, quarterbacks coach, Justin Stepp, wide receiver coach, Jordan Thomas, defensive line coach, Tyrone Wheatley, running backs coach. So that's 11 guys who have a position. So that's the question of like, okay, one of those 11 isn't the official, you know, does he travel on the road to recruit, unless the rules have changed and I haven't seen that. Then beyond that, you have all the assistants, but then you also have beyond that, those 11, you have offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special needs coordinator, and Mike New's title of pass game coordinator. So how those 15 sort into the 10 official slots, I have no idea. It's fascinating to me. I was trying to like chart it out today of like, how does this even work? People care. People care so much.
I don't know, but they're the ones who are doing the coordinating.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the final answer to all this is, you know what? I think Brett Bielema has this figured out and has a system. The most organized coach in Illini history. He probably has it figured out of how they're going to do this.
They just coordinate it, Robert. You don't even know what it is to coordinate a position, do you? No, but they do. And they're the ones that are doing the coordinating.
They just write it off. Okay.
All right. It's time for listener Q&A or viewer Q&A, and let's bring in Maisie Garrett for some help on this once again. And Maisie, since we were talking about names, is Maisie straight up your name or is it a nickname? Or maybe you don't want to out yourself. I don't know. Maybe it's your stage persona.
What do you guys think it's short for?
So it is short for something.
It's good.
It could be.
Oh, okay. If it was short for something. I can't.
Mars.
Mazella?
Maze. I got nothing.
Yeah.
I got nothing. I'm going to claim that Maisie is on your birth certificate.
Yeah, my name is just Maisie, but Mazella is funny because that's my little sister's name. But I just,
wait,
I like
what?
To see.
Really? That's a real name?
I don't know if it's a real name, but it's my little sister's name is Ella.
Oh.
Oh, sorry. Did I not make that
clear?
Well,
I said Mazella.
Yes. So it's like, kind of. It could have been, maybe.
Oh, okay, okay.
As sisters, you're referred to as Mazella?
That's your new folk duo. Mazella.
Hey, they're going to play Canopy Club next week.
Anyways, okay. Back on track. Yes, Maisie is my real name. All right, first one. Hi, guys. Can you share a little bit about the original Big Ten message boards back in the late 1990s that kept my Illini soul connected while I lived in Columbus, Ohio? Who are you still connected with by screen name? Oh, and any news about Herky, the most irritating and Illini-baiting Iowa fan of all time, the broom? That's from Chris.
There are maybe three people on the planet who can answer this question, and I'm one of them.
Okay, Maisie, you're in charge of the microphone, which means...
Yeah, you can cut me off if I go too long.
Or if you just see me doing this.
Somewhere in the Big Ten headquarters in 1997, there was a meeting and somebody said, hey, there's this internet thing. What if we as a conference did message boards? So on the Big Ten website, they came up with the Big Ten fan forums. And so you would go to the official Big Ten website, and there was an Illinois message board, and there was an Iowa message board, and there was an Indiana and everything else.
And everybody thought, what could go wrong?
Yes, and exactly. You bring that up in 2006 at Big Ten headquarters, they would be like, what were we even thinking? Like, the internet's this monster and we would have to regulate it and people can just say whatever, and we needed moderators to shut down some terrible speech that was going on our website. But the internet was new and the Big Ten thought, like, hey, this would be fun. Okay. Let's get all the fans to interact.
Give them
credit.
Those
were crazy, crazy days. I was on there as St. Louis Illini. I was obsessed with the Big Ten fan forums. I think they were shut down in like 99. Herky, reference there, was the most famous Iowa fan. He claimed to work at a car wash. I don't know if that's true or not, but Herky's car wash song was a thing. There were so many different people. The question here, and this is going to Illinois internet lore. So this was just before Illini Board was the very first Illinois message board. So when John Brumbaugh started the website in 2000, it was like the Big Ten fan forums had fallen apart and he wanted to do a message board for Illinois fans. And a lot of the people who were on Big Ten fan forums kind of migrated over there. But I do still talk to a guy who went by JDL on the website. I talked to Illini Phil from Big Ten fan forums. There are several other Illini board people that were there. JDL is the one I've probably known the longest. He's a huge Illini golf fan. But yes, it was this. I still run into people who will be like, were you on Big Ten fan forums? Oh, yeah, I was this. I was this. It was this like 20-month window where the Big Ten thought it would be a good idea of like, let's have Michigan and Ohio State fans interact online on the same chat room.
In a cordial and respectful manner.
I'm sure nothing could possibly go wrong and there will be no name calling and there will be no doxing of people. Like, there was like terrible, like, hey, I figured out who that guy is and here's his address and here's his work and call his boss. And it turned into a terrible, terrible idea. But for 20 months, I remember the very first thing I was obsessed about on the Illini internet was there was a kid named Robbie Reed from BYU, and he was choosing between Illinois and Michigan as to where he was going to transfer to, a shooting guard. And I checked 3 times a day to see if Robbie Reed had made a decision. Because if you think before that, 96, before, go back to the 90s, 80s, 70s, you just read in the paper where the recruit picked and what happened. This was the first chance of like, wait, I can just go to that one site online and it will tell me immediately. Somebody will tell me, hey, Robbie Reed picked Michigan. This is the greatest invention of all time. I'm now going to be obsessed with this the rest of my life. And I guess if I'm sitting here doing this, I guess it's true. That's the history of the Big Ten fan forum.
I'm actually impressed at how succinct you were.
Thank you.
Relative to other stories.
I could have gone really deep. Okay, quick. I have other things in my head, so quick, Maisie, ask another question before I go way off.
All right, then, next one. Scott and Robert Is the white Illini pillow in the background of your podcast set for sale in Champaign, Urbana, or did someone make the pillow for you?
I do have an answer. When I printed these questions out for Maisie to read, I'm like, oh, I bet I could ask. So I do have an answer. The pillow was purchased at TJ Maxx in Edwardsville, Illinois. Home of, who's the Edwardsville baseball player? This is like a quiz for you.
Well, Drake Westcott.
Oh, okay. Isn't there a freshman?
Lucas Krebs.
Look at that, pulling your baseball knowledge out.
Home of the Edwardsville Tigers.
Yes. So the TJ Maxx, Edwardsville, Glen Carbon, not sure exactly where it is. So I got it at Festivus. Everybody who celebrates Festivus, obviously. Mm-hmm. We do a gift exchange at Festivus.
I'm looking at the monitor, by the way, mm-hmm. and go back to Robert's shot, but mm-hmm. seeing somebody mentioned in one of the comments, like, how you are positioned right now. Go slightly to your left.
This way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They love it when you're positioned like that because it looks like you just have a bunch of hair sticking up.
Oh, I like that. Yes.
Sorry to our audio-only listeners that this is a visual because we love you listening, but it just looks like you've got just rubbed your head with a balloon.
Yes, and you can see the pillow. The pillow is right there.
Yeah. That's why I was originally looking at the monitor to point out the pillow, which somebody else has been here and said, I have that pillow. I can't remember who does, but it is available for purchase.
Must have been someone else who went to TJ Maxx. Doesn't necessarily have to be Edwardsville. I'm sure a lot of TJ Maxx's carry this pillow. But shout out TJ Maxx.
Mr. Rosenthal's pillows provided by...
Promotional considerations. All right.
Distributed by King World.
All right, next.
That was also not the answer I was expecting at all for that one.
TJ Maxx is not the... Yes.
All right. Anyways. Hey, guys. I love the show. I appreciate the highlights of non-revenue sports. Question. What are your thoughts on Thomas Dietrich joining LIV Golf and competing on the same team as Thomas Peters? Do you think this is good or bad for Illini Golf? That's coming from Mark.
Okay, so I have Illini Golf opinions. I'm curious, you're not a golf guy, you're a baseball guy. You know, you're aware. What are your opinions of LIV Golf? Like, how do you feel about it?
I don't have strong feelings on it.
Yep.
Other than I would lean towards, I didn't have any problems with the PGA,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't that into it to have feelings on it already.
Yeah.
So it feels like that's just a big money grab, yes. as if the other wasn't, if it was all pure.
Right, right.
The way things were. But, you know, I just knew the PGA. So bottom line, that's a long way of saying I don't lose a wink of sleep.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I figured. Like, I think they were thinking that golf fans would respond to, or even casual fans would respond to, like, oh, it's something new, and it's something, and we're only doing three rounds instead of four, and it's going to be on TV, and we're doing shotgun starts, so it'll be faster rounds and all this stuff. And it just, for the casual fans such as yourself, I guess, it just didn't catch on.
Didn't.
I really celebrated Dietrich winning last year in Phoenix and really loved seeing him finally get his moment. So for me, it's a little disappointing because I don't really follow LIV and I'm not pulling it up on the, you know, on their app or whatever to watch a final round or anything like that. So it just means Thomas Dietrich is further from my awareness bubble kind of thing. And that is a little same with Thomas Peters when he left. I understand it financially. It's one of those, like, if you're winning on the PGA Tour and LIV comes along and says, like, we'll pay you this much money to switch tours, there's not a lot of people listening that would be like, no, I'm going to turn down millions and millions of dollars just to, like, stay with the same tour.
Yeah. So. No, I mean, for a lot of people who are fans of Lord of the Rings, they like LIV Tyler. But I don't think that's golf-related.
I think that's really what the question was, Scott. Thank you for snuffing it out.
Yeah, or if you came of age in a certain time.
Yes, my official take is that I wish they were both on the PGA Tour. Like
LIV Tyler and?
Yeah, LIV Tyler and Thomas Dietrich. Yeah. If only they would get married. That's really what we're going for here. Final question, Maisie, go.
All right, final question. Kind of a long one, so stick with me. And making me wish I had brought my glasses today. All right, this is mainly for Robert, but open to Scott's advice as well.
Love it. See, people want the long-winded answers, Scott.
They want your input, your take.
No, they just want me to ramble and make no sense. Continue.
All right, so Scott, stand by.
It's a podcast about nothing. Well, even nothing is. Go ahead.
You may find this to be a silly question, but I assure it's serious. I am a 63-year-old sane adult who. This sounds like this is Robert writing it.
I did not. Hand to God, I did not write this. I did not. I could show people the email.
And if it's this. Starting with, I'm a 63-year-old yes. sane, like, boy, we're
I'm a college
nailing
student.
The demo.
Continue.
Sponsors, take Sorry. Note.
Sorry. Anyways, sane adult who has been a big Illini fan since entering U of I in the fall of 1980. Big fan of both football and basketball through thick and mostly thin. My issue is that I've become totally irrational if I watch the Illini on TV, to the point where I have given it up and only now watch highlights if they win. Somehow, I am missing out on the fun of being an Illini fan. I'm a season ticket holder in football and have no problem for some reason watching the games live. Am I crazy? And more importantly, any advice on getting back into watching in the TV watching fold? Thanks for all your content. I eat that up too, just not the live sports. P.S. Turning the announcers off helps a little bit, but not enough. From Patrick.
I think you should go first because this is
because really, you're going to say three times as much.
No, this is essentially a broadcast question, right? Okay. This is essentially a if he can go to games in person and be fine, but on TV, it's so frustrating. I feel like that's a. Like the issue here is broadcasts. So this is more of a Scott question than it is a Robert question.
All right. I think it's. Let's start with the broadcast side of it.
Okay.
I've heard on more than one occasion, I turn off the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Because the TV broadcasts, they're biased. They're against the Illini. It is not true. The thing is you are pulling for the Illini.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you ever turn on a game of whatever involving two teams that you're not vested in, but you're maybe watching it because you're just interested in it? I watched the Super Bowl. For the most part, I didn't really care who won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no like, oh my gosh, they're so pro this or so anti sure. this. I was just watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
But if your team's in it, all of a sudden, I think it's, not to get too philosophical, I think it's the same reason that if you have like a political affiliation and you mm-hmm. consume news that is trying to be neutral mm-hmm. and you, anything you will just, you'll see it as, well, they're not looking at it through the proper lens.
I think that's true. And I think,
but they aren't trying to be that way. That's not their job on a national or even a regional broadcast where the announcing team needs to be neutral. They're just more in a position where you want to celebrate and highlight good play, the big stories,
yep.
the headlines.
Let me frame it this way for you. So I just saw today that Dick Vitale is going to call one of the first four games. He hasn't called a game in years. If you're young, if you're Maisie's age, Dick Vitale was like in the 90s and 2000s. If Dick Vitale was working your game, it was a huge deal on ESPN. Like he was the guy to be the color commentator on any broadcast. So... But back then, people didn't get really that mad about the broadcast feeling, you know, biased in that. Like, that seems to be a newer kind of thing. So I'm curious, you know, Dick Vitale worked that famous Illinois-Iowa game where Frank Williams, you know, made a behind-the-back pass to Brian Cook. The arena's going nuts. Dick Vitale's going crazy about him. Like, he's the guy. He's the, you know, this and that. And as he's saying that, Frank gets a steal, goes in for a layup. Iowa calls a timeout. He's get a T.O., baby. It's the Frank Williams show and all this stuff. I'm curious. Back then, there wasn't much discussion as to, like, oh, man, Dick Vitale must love the Illini, this and that. But if Dick Vitale were out there doing that today, if he were saying, get a T.O., it's the Frank Williams show, all this stuff, I feel like he would be like, oh, man, he just loves Illinois. He must hate Iowa. You know, I'm more curious if it's a societal shift that allows us, like you just said, with politics or whatever, to look for bias when Dick Vitale was in the 90s was saying crazy biased things, and people were just like celebrating it as, oh, this is great. This guy's really, really into the game. If Robbie Hummel did that last night, if he was saying like, oh, it's the Stojakovic show, like you would hear all kinds of people saying like, oh, come on, like he must love Illinois. Oh, his grandpa went there, you know, all that kind of stuff. So what do you think of that?
I stopped listening 2 minutes ago.
You have to listen. You have to have a an opinion.
I'm sorry.
Yes. I mean, is it societal?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think that it's still celebrate the stars, highlight what's. I mean, if you know, in the 90s NBA, you could have said, well, the announcers were biased towards the Bulls. Well, they knew that Michael Jordan was a global sensation. He was a story, and he was the greatest player on the planet.
Yeah.
I think it's just highlight what's going well. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Or if it's significantly not going well in a way that's sort of surprising, then you. But I think the listener's question is bigger because it sounds like the broadcast is maybe
turn
hard.
Off the announcers. Helps,
I mean, it's
but
simple.
Not
you
enough,
always
so
just turn on
yes.
Illini radio broadcasters. That's the mm-hmm. simple solution on that. Mm-hmm. You know. But for whatever reason, being in person is easier than just watching the game remotely. I can actually relate. I had this moment in both 24 and 25. So I'm helping with the basketball broadcasts in the postseason, which means I'm not with Illinois baseball. And so I'm following Illinois baseball while they're playing. Like I'm watching the play-by-play of the stat feed. Mm-hmm. While also working the basketball game, and they're just kind of keeping a side eye on how's baseball doing. Well, I'm kind of invested in baseball.
Absolutely.
And I'm more like sort of tortured on the ups and downs of a game there than I am just calling it, because I'm sort of engaged and I've got a job to do when you're calling it, whereas you're just casually, I'm like, oh, I get it, how you ride the roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Ups and downs. So I think, I don't know why it is that in person's easier than just watching it, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah,
I don't have any advice other than, you know, the sun will come up tomorrow.
I think I'm probably well positioned to answer this just because, you know, somebody asked me a question about a football broadcast or something. And I told them, like the last football game, the last Illini football game I watched on TV was 2019. Like, I go to every game. So I have no knowledge of what it's.
You still get. Nervous or whatever.
Sure. But I'm just saying, like, as far as like what's, you know, I go to every game, both road and away. So, you know, I'm one of just a few people that do that. So I will watch a replay of a game where I know the outcome. And I feel like I can understand when I'm watching some of these replays. I'll often turn the announcers off because I don't like the narratives they're spinning. And you know, it's not that I think they're biased against it. It's just a little, I can hear the producer in their ear telling them to hype it a little bit and like, hey, bring some energy kind of thing. And it feels like it's a little too much because I know the outcome and I know where this is all going and that type of thing. So it's frustrating to watch a game like that when I'm watching back after knowing the outcome. But I do agree. Tyler covers a fair number of basketball game. So say the Penn State game in January, I was watching it on TV, Tyler's covering it in person, and I do find it more frustrating. That was a game where Illinois wasn't playing well, ended up beating Penn State by 8 or 10 or something like that, but the team should have beaten by 30 kind of thing, and it was a more frustrating game, and it's much, much, much more difficult for me to watch that game on TV than to be there in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is we have this access to things and these immediate knowledge of things, and the world moves so quickly now that it's easier to slow all of that down in the stands than it is watching on TV to me. You know, for whatever reason, it's just easier to pace I'm nervous or I'm excited or I'm anxious or whatever. It's easier to pace that in person than it is on TV. And I totally get what he's saying here. I don't really have advice other than, yeah, just go to every game. But there is something to even the way things are presented and produced today that make it much easier to watch games in person than on TV.
Well, maybe wait for the outcome and then decide if you want to watch it on delay. Maybe that's
not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yep. I have friends who just want to kind of get the experience over with. So they'll wait until it's like halftime and they'll have it recorded and then they'll just start it. And if they just get too nervous with moments, they'll just, all right, I'm fast forwarding 10 minutes. Like, I don't like what's happening right now. I can control this. Mm-hmm. I can control how much of this game I watch. And so I'm just going to wait an hour and a half. I'm going to start it. And if I like the game, I'm just going to let it play. And if I don't like what I'm seeing, I'm just going to fast forward.
Thanks for all the questions. I hope it turns out for you well in your viewing experience or not as you go forward. You can always reach out to us, lighttheeyepodcast@gmail.com, lighttheeyepodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter, @light_the_i. And, of course, you can find us where you get your podcasts or on our YouTube channel. You can leave comments there also. We really appreciate it. All right, that's it for this edition. Thanks to Maisie Garrett for her fine work. For Robert Rosenthal, I'm Scott Beatty. We'll be back again with you. Next time we talk, we'll know Illinois men's position in the Big Ten tournament, and the women will be awaiting their fate for the NCAA tournament. So we'll talk about all that and more next time when we light the eye.